for not only presenting about Indian ministry, but also to preach the Word of God from the Bible. So this morning I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 7, please. A very well-known passage in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 7. I'll just read one verse, and of course, we will be considering the whole story for the message this morning. 2 Kings chapter 7, and let's read verse 9. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." Therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. You might have heard the story, this same story, many times, and you might have read the story in the Bible many times. This is during the reign of King Jehoram, the king of Israel, the northern kingdom. There was a great famine in the land. It was because of the Syrians, the enemies of the Israelites. They came and besieged the city. And the king of Israel ordered all the gates of the city to be closed for the fear of the enemies. People were not allowed to go out to get any kind of food. So whatever the food that was in the city, they had it for some time, but afterwards they did not have anything to eat. And we know from the story that the famine was so great that people were dying every day, every moment, starving to death. And it was so severe that we read in chapter 6 that there was two ladies. They have two kids. The famine was so great, and one of the ladies said to another, saying that, we have kids now, and we are going to die of starving. We don't have food. So let us eat your kid, your child today, and tomorrow we will eat mine. They were becoming cannibals, eating their own kids because of the famine. It was such a horrible situation. The city was, going through. At that time, there were four lepers sitting outside the city gate. They were also facing problem. They did not have anything to eat. And they were talking to one another. We cannot get into the city. First of all, they don't allow us because we are lepers. Even if they allow us, they don't have anything to eat either. So they are not going to give us anything. And they said, "Let us go into the enemy's camp. If they kill us, no problem, we're going to die anyway. Or if they give us something to eat, then we will eat and survive." And with that thought, they are just, going into the enemy's camp. But we find in verse 3 and 4 and 5 of chapter 7, God was working in that situation when they were going into the enemy's camp. The enemies heard a great noise of chariots and horses running around. And they were talking to one another, "Oh, Israel, the king of Israel has hired some other kings to come over and fight against us. And we are not going to withstand. We are not going to win this battle. And before they come and fall upon us, let us run away from here." So we see that they just ran away from there not taking anything with them, just fled for their lives. And these four lepers, not knowing anything about that, they just went into the camp. You know, they went into a small tent there. There was lots of food, but nobody was there. They grabbed some food, they ate, and they had so much left over. They took that leftover and hidden it somewhere. Went into another tent, same thing, nobody was there, but so much of food, so many, you know, ornaments, gold and silver, everything. So they got that also, collected that and hidden somewhere. You know, they were doing it for some time. They were hiding everything for themselves. But after some time, one of them said, you know, what we are doing is not right. Our people are dying. We had great famine. The Lord visited us and He has given us the food. And He has given us the food that is enough for all of our people in the city. And what we are doing, we are just getting selfish and hiding everything for ourselves. They said, what we are doing is not right. Let us go and pass this message that we have found food. So they went and passed on that message. And that day, of course, the Lord had really, delivered Israelites from that great famine. And they had food that evening to eat. So this morning, we all know that once we were dying in our sins and trespasses. Bible very clearly says that you know, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were dead in our sins and trespasses according to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. And heading to go to hell. But God, by His grace, by sending His only Son, Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, shedding His precious blood, has delivered us from our sin. And we are not cursed people anymore. And we are not in our sins anymore. But God has delivered us from our sinful lives. And as we have just sang the song, something great change has taken place in our lives. Everything became new. All things have passed away. And God changed our lives. Not only we enjoy spiritual blessings every day, but we enjoy so many physical blessings also from God. We have peace of God that passeth all understanding in our hearts. And we receive so many blessings from God. And many times we get so caught up in our own activities, so caught up just for living for ourselves. And we don't really think about the people who are dying. Like lepers, sometimes we just get selfish. We don't at all think about the others. But this morning, God, through His word, is challenging us that as lepers, we also should be burdened to pass on the message that we have got eternal life, and it is even ready for you if you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved and you will have the eternal life also. And God has given us that purpose that we have to go and tell the people. And we have to go and tell the people that we have found food, the spiritual food, eternal life, spiritual blessing, blessed life. This morning, I want to challenge you that you must be burdened to pass on the message of eternal life. And through this story, I just want to make a note of some points with you. How can we be burdened to pass this message? How can we be burdened to pass this message? Number one, by reckoning that there is a great need outside. You see the need in order to be burdened to pass on this message. Many times, you know, we don't see the need. The lepers, for some time, they did not see the need. But later they realized that there is a great need in the city. People are dying every day. And people are killing each other and becoming cannibals. And there is a great need if we don't pass this message. And many people die this same night. They saw the need and they saw the urgency of passing on that message. When I was at IBC, We had a speaker in our missions conference, and I don't remember the exact story, but he shared a small illustration with us. There was a guy who was walking on the beach, and on that beach, every morning, you know, they find so many, you know, kind of, they say starfish, some kind of starfish. They come up on that beach, on the shore there, and, you know, by morning they don't get their way to get into the water again. So they just stay there, and hot sun comes, they die. So this guy, every morning he walks on the beach, and he not only walks on the beach, but he, you know, picks up those starfish and throws them into the sea again, into the waters. And he was doing it every day, every morning. And one morning another guy came along and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm just throwing them into the water." And he said, "You know, can't you see? There are millions of them in front of you. What difference can you make?" And this guy said, you know, he picked up a starfish and throwing in the water, he said, "It makes a lot of difference to this starfish." So he throws into the water. Yes, great need. You might say, 1.2 people, 2 billion people in India? Can Solomon alone reach? Or can Bethel Baptist Church reach 1.2 billion people in India? No, we cannot reach. But God can use us to make difference in the lives of the individuals. And this morning, we have, you know, I want to encourage you to see the need that is there in the world. People are dying every day, and you can make the difference. You can pray, and you can go out, not only in India, even in your surroundings, in your community. You see lots of people lost in their sins. I read a book, and the author was talking about, you know, the situation in the American churches today. He mentioned that in the olden days, 50% of the people in America used to be in churches on Sunday. But today, it's only 5%, it seems, going to the church. And on Wednesdays, the business is closed early, about maybe 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. By afternoon, it is closed because everybody wanted to go to the church on Wednesday evenings for prayer meetings. You see the lot of change now. So there is a great need, even in your land and in our land, the country India. We have to see the need. Ask the Lord to open our eyes so that we might see the need. Ask the Lord to open our eyes so that we might see the people dying and going to hell. A man of God was invited by a pastor of a church. And he went to the church. There was, you know, some more time left to start the meeting. He went onto the top of the building and looked down on the street. So many people are walking on the street. And now it is time to start the meeting. And the pastor who invited this, you know, speaker, evangelist, he went upstairs to call pastor, or the speaker down, so that, you know, they could start the meeting. When he went up to see the pastor, the speaker, the evangelist, he was leaning down and he was just looking on the street. Pastor went and said, "Come on, preachers, time to start the meeting." And he did not get any response. He went and leaned over and saw what preacher is looking. He saw nothing. There are so many people doing their own kinds of, you know, the busy in their own things. And he asked the pastor asked the preacher, "What are you looking at?" And preacher said, "What are you looking? What can you see there?" "Nothing. People everywhere." He said, "I see people heading towards hell. I see people, so many hundreds of people, thousands of people you know, unsaved and going to hell. And saying that, you know, his ears, eyes were filled with tears. So many times we see the people, we don't really see, you know, that they're unsaved and they're going to hell. We have to ask the Lord to open our eyes whenever we see somebody, our neighbor, or people in our community, and we know that they're unsaved. And we have to ask the Lord to open our eyes so that, you know, we might see the soul that is going into hell. And that, you know, brings a burden. That brings burden for us to, you know, present the message, present the gospel. So we have to open up our eyes to see the great need. We have to be burdened by reckoning that there is a great need. And secondly, we have to be burdened to pass on this message by realizing that this is not the time to get selfish. Realize that this is not the time for selfishness. These lepers, as we have just considered in the story, God has blessed them with food. They found food. Not only food, so many valuables, gold and silver, and nice clothes. And they got so busy now. All these days at the city gate, they were doing nothing. But now they've got something to do. They became busy. They were collecting everything for themselves and hiding in a special place where they can use it for future. They got very busy. Many times we receive God's blessings and we get so caught up and busy in our own, in our personal lives, busy with our families, busy in our, you know, duties, in our jobs, a man of God gave an I don't know what you call this, but he explained the word busy, B-U-S-Y. He said, B stands for buried, U stands for under, S stands for Satan's, Y stands for yoke. Busy, buried under Satan's yoke. Satan had a big conference, it seems. I don't know. It must be in hell. So Satan asked his followers, how can we, you know, stop these Christians going all around and giving out the gospel tracts and going all around and winning people for the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we stop these fellows? And one of the followers said, no, let us trouble them by maybe, you know, attacking on their health or attacking on their economy or attacking on their, you know, family and all that stuff. And Satan was not pleased. And one of the followers, clever followers, said, I've got an idea. Let us give them everything they want. They want nice job? Okay, let us give them nice job. They want good clothing? Yes, let us give them good clothing. They want a good status in the community? Yes, let us give them, you know, that. So, everything they want, let us give them. And Satan said, what do you mean? I mean, if they have everything, then they're not going to listen to us. They will be just following their God, Jesus Christ. But he said, no. If you just give them everything, they will be busy. And they, when they are busy, they neglect their God. When they are busy, they neglect passing out the tracts. When they are busy, they neglect going to church. When they are busy, they're just in their comfort zones, so they don't do what they're supposed to do as a Christian. And is it not true in many of our lives? We get so busy, we really don't have time for God. And the Word of God says, this is not the time for selfish living. There's a great need. People are dying every minute, every day. And you see your neighbors or in your community, so many unsaved people. And you know for sure they're going into hell. But you don't really, you know, feel to, you know, go there and talk about Jesus Christ because you know, you are busy in your things. This morning, God is challenging us to get burdened to pass on the message of eternal life, because there's a great need. And God has blessed you with so many blessings, spiritual and physical blessings. Don't just caught up, you know, in those blessings and get busy and, you know, not living for the Lord. It's quite dangerous. And thirdly, we have to be burdened, but not only reckoning that there's a great need, not only by realizing that it's not the time to be selfish, but also by reacting without any excuse. React without giving excuse. And this is quite common in our lives. You know, we have so many excuses to give. Whenever God tells us to do something, we have so many excuses to give. If these lepers were to give excuses, they could have given real, genuine excuses. The lepers were not allowed into the city. And they could have said, no, why should we go? Why should we pass on this message? Because all these years, those fellows in the city, they think that they were so pious and holy, they never cared for us. And we are lepers. They never took care of us. They have chased us out of the city. We are not allowed into the city at all. They were looking like a wretched, you know, reckless sinners. They never cared for us. We don't really have place in that community. And why should we go? We are not going to go. Because, you know, they never cared for us. That's why God showed mercy upon us. So let us enjoy. Let us not go there. Now, they could have given that excuse. Or they could have said, you know, they don't allow us. Doors are closed on us. So many times we give that excuse. Doors are closed on us. You know, that community, bad community. We cannot go there, you know. We cannot go. That guy is a, you know, tough, rough guy. You know, if we talk to him, he might even, you know, show his power and our strength on us. You know, so many times we build our own barriers, not going to the people and not sharing this God, the message of the eternal life. So many excuses. And lepers could have given excuse about their health problem. You know, we give health problem also as an excuse. Now, I'm not that healthy. Otherwise, I would have gone for soul winning Saturday morning. You have that, you know, in your church. So many excuses we give. But the Word of God says, do not give any excuses. I've read a small, statement. It said, God never asks about our ability or inability, but He asks about our availability. Now, He never sees your ability or inability. Oh, if I had such and such a talent, I would have been used for God so much. Or if only I had so much of money, had given for that college building or children's home building in India. Or if only I had this kind of privilege, now I would have just surrendered myself to God and be used of God so mightily. God doesn't need your abilities at all. As long as you're available, God can use you. God used the simplest things in the world to really, change the world actually. He used unlearned, uneducated disciples to make the world upside down. People witnessed, you know, people who made this earth upside down are coming to this city also. I don't know how it says in English, but that's the word, I know in Telugu, that's right. Is that true? Okay. So they were simple people, but God used them. So God doesn't need your abilities. So just don't give excuse. Lord, I'm not that able as that person. Lord, I do not have so many resources that family has got. Many times we give excuse. I've heard about a story. A lady in a wheelchair came to the pastor after the church meeting and said, Pastor, thank you for the message. I want to be used of God. I want to be used of God somewhere in this, you know, church ministry here. He looked at her and said, Mom, you know, what can you do? You cannot do anything. You're, you know, she's paralyzed from her neck to bottom, actually. She cannot do. She can only use her, you know, or her head, face. He said, what can you do? You cannot do anything. No problem. I'll pray for you. But thank you for the desire you have. Just go home. But she said, no, I want to be used of God. And he said, okay, what do you want to do? Tell me. She said, I want to just stand. I'll sit in my wheelchair at the church door, main door, and invite the people in. The pastor said, okay, if you want to do that, you can do. So she would come early, you know, on Sundays and sit there with a beautiful smile on her face. She would invite the people in. And pretty soon, church was full. Every Sunday, you know, it used to be not that full, but, you know, since so many Sundays, church was full. Pastor wanted to know actually, you know, why there's such a drastic change in the church congregation. He took a survey. So 70% of the people, it seems, they said, we are blessed by the ministry of that lady at the door. Can we be used of God? Yes. If we give excuse like Moses, sometimes, you know, God gets angry with us. Elijah said, Lord, it's enough. Just a day before that, he commanded the fire from heaven to come down. But after that, the queen Jezebel threatened him that she will kill him. And now he says, Lord, it's enough, take me. I'm not going to, you know, fight with her. I'm not that able to, you know, do the ministry anymore. Then God said, okay, anoint Elisha. He gave excuse, I cannot do. Then he said, okay. Then he actually, you know, he could have done more, but he said, Lord, I cannot do. Then Lord said, okay, you get aside, you step down. I have Elisha to continue the ministry. If you don't do, you lose the privilege. But if you have the burden, without giving excuses, you want to be used of God, God will surely use you. God is using many unlearned, uneducated people in our ministry there in India. My dad has got only 5th grade education. But I just shared about his testimony, the way the Lord is using him. Even till today, some thousands of people look to him as a spiritual guide, leader. They call him all the time. And, you know, the way the Lord is using him is so great. So God can use you. Whatever the abilities you have, whatever the resources you have, you just use it for the glory of God, and I'm sure God will really, I mean, use you and bless you so much. And fourthly and lastly, we have to be burdened to pass on this message, not only by reckoning that there's great need, not only by realizing that it's not the time for selfishness, not only by reacting without giving excuses, but also by responding in a team spirit. Responding in a team spirit. These four lepers, they had very good teamwork. Yesterday, Pastor, we all went for soul winning. We did not go one by one. We went as a team. You know, God, Jesus Christ also initiated this teamwork, right? When he was here on this earth, in his physical form, he sent disciples two by two to reach the world. Even here, the lepers, there were four, and one said, let us go and pass on this message. And all the other three said, okay, let's go. Now they were working as a team. And, you know, God has given you a beautiful church and a nice congregation. And you can also work as a team. And we all can work as a team. Though I'm there in India, you are here in the United States, we can work as a team. I alone cannot reach the people in India. Or pastors there, 60 pastors or whatever, you know, they cannot do it by themselves. Or you cannot do it by yourself. Just, you know, reaching this community. You cannot do it alone. There's a great example in the Bible. We all know it's in Exodus chapter 17. I'll just read that story for you. Exodus chapter 17, reading from verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. You know, Moses could not have fought with the Amalekites and win that battle today all by himself. But still he was trying to hold up his hand. Now, as long as his hand is up, Israelites were prevailing, winning. When he was tired, his hand was getting heavy, he could not hold his rod up anymore, he let it down, Amalekites were winning. So Aaron and Hur, they thought of a plan. They made him to sit on a stone, big stone, and held his hand up like this until Israelites won the battle. You see, it was a teamwork. So there is somebody who is holding up his hand, and there should be somebody who can support his hand so that we can win the battle and reach not only India, but America and this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, just want to encourage you that there is a great need, and don't get selfish. Don't give any excuses, but get into the team and try to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity, Pastor. I thank you all for listening to me. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts this morning. Thank you.